and welcome. This is your health bestie, Barbara, with Health Solutions Today, where we customize health insurance plans for small business owners. In the last episode, we spoke about the various types of healthcare providers: family medicine physician, internist, general practitioner, OBGYN, nurse practitioner, and pediatrician. We also learned how to narrow down the list of providers to find the perfect one for you. I'm curious to know about your experience with healthcare providers. Let's continue the conversation on X, the Everything app, formerly known as Twitter, at @solo_health. If you are currently looking for health insurance or need to change your health insurance, schedule a free discovery call at healthsolutionstoday.com, where we now offer quick 15-minute sessions to help you narrow down the confusing array of health insurance options. In this episode, we will learn how to talk to and partner with our PCP, primary care provider, in order to receive the best care. I will begin by telling you about a time my father pulled over a school bus. After listening to today's episode, you will understand how to overcome white coat syndrome and how to partner with your healthcare provider. Both of my parents are retired police officers. Today, they spend their days in service to the community as substitute teachers. Please remember, always consult with a licensed health professional before taking any action discussed in the show. Our discussion today is not meant to treat or diagnose any particular disease, and it should not substitute qualified medical advice. As a child, my sister and I were chauffeured around in the backseat of police cruisers by our parents. When I was in middle school, my mom worked overnight and came home as my sister and I went to school. My daddy would prepare to go to court in the morning to serve subpoenas for the people he arrested. It took a solid 15 minutes to walk to the school bus each morning. Not only did we have a backpack, lunch, and breakfast, we also lugged around our instruments as well. I carried a flute, which isn't the largest instrument, but it was a lot for me. My sister played the French horn, which, of course, was much more of a challenge to carry as we traveled to and from the bus every morning and afternoon. Consequently, every now and again, my sister and I did not make it to school on time, so we would have to walk back home another 15 minutes so our dad could rush us into school before he went to court. On those days, I personally thought it was great. We all rode together in the cruiser. My sister and I would take turns sitting in the front seat. I felt like it was the perfect family time, and only one thing would have made it better: a short trip in the drive-thru McDonald's for breakfast, and everything would have been excellent day. Arriving in the cruiser, my sister and I avoided the noise of the school bus. We arrived at school relaxed. With the stop at McDonald's, we would all have full bellies. My dad, on the other hand, had a different idea. He felt rushed in the morning when he brought us to school before going to court. There was this part where we sat in rush hour traffic for a little while, but to me it seemed like such a minor detail. On one of those days that we missed the bus, rather than get upset with us, he simply outsmarted our best efforts at the impromptu family time. "Daddy, we missed the bus. You're going to have to take us to school," we announced one morning. We did our best to sound upset about the whole thing. After all, it was an inconvenience to him. Quickly, he shepherded us into the police cruiser. This was unusual. He didn't finish putting on his police uniform like he normally would in the past. Next, he didn't hop onto the expressway. He drove along the bus route, and to our shock and horror, he hunted the bus down, turned on his police lights and siren, and pulled the bus over. We were plastered in our seats, thinking to ourselves, "What is he doing?" No one moved. We just sat there, holding our breath in total embarrassment and complete silence. The bus patiently sat, pulled over on the side of the road. Every single window on the bus was pulled down. Each window was accompanied by a child's head hanging out of it. There were audible sounds and statements of, "Ooh, the bus driver is getting pulled over." I sat there, blinking my eyes. If there was ever a time that I wished I could just disappear, it was right then and there. At a very minimum, it would have been nice to have a paper bag to put over my head so no one knew who I was. My dad noticed we were not moving. He commanded, "Get out of the car. I've got to get to work." Hold on, I thought. Wait a second. I cannot believe he just pulled the bus driver over. This isn't happening. What about our impromptu family time together? To encourage us, he unlocked the doors. With the click of the doors unlocking, we reluctantly opened the car door and ran to get on the bus. Maybe they can't tell who it is if we run. The bus driver looked like they were about to have a heart attack because they thought they had a moving violation and were about to receive a ticket and possibly lose their job. All the kids on the bus definitely had their share of excitement for the day. Consequently, my sister and I dropped the idea of impromptu family time and learned to never miss the school bus again. Like ever, seriously. Fear of authority figures runs deep in the veins of every person. It develops during our childhood and later feels cemented into our lives as adults. Do you have questions about health insurance or need to enroll? Use the link in the subscription below to have a 15-minute discovery call. See how you can benefit from health insurance. You can find us on X, the Everything app, formerly known as Twitter, at @solo_health. In healthcare, this fear is referred to as white coat syndrome. When someone dons a white coat, we take them more seriously. In our eyes, they become more knowledgeable, and unconsciously, we slip into a role of obedience and obeisance. The Milgram experiment conducted at Yale in 1961 demonstrated the power we unnecessarily assign to a lab coat and others in authority. During this experiment, no one was harmed. It involved participants who were given the title of teacher, student, and an experimenter who donned a white lab coat. During the experiment, the teacher was told to shock the student if they provided the wrong answer. The voltage of the shock was increased each time the answer was wrong, and the consequent staged screams, pleas, and protests of the student increased accordingly. The experimenter in the lab coat encouraged the teacher to continue to administer these shocks with the increased amount of voltage, despite the accompaniment of pleas and protests. The Milgram experiment demonstrated the power and authority we assign to a person in a lab coat and to people in authority. As a result, we trust, nod, feel honored and privileged in the presence of authority. This behavior can impact our ability to speak up or challenge a plan that has been established without our full understanding. In French, there is a saying, "The robe does not make the monk." Our need is to talk to providers as if they are regular people, not as an authority figure. When the provider walks in and asks, "How are you?" instead of saying, "I'm fine," "Just try this. I'm a little frazzled because I rushed in here from work. I'm a high school teacher and we are coming to the end of the school year, so things are starting to get hectic." Explain something that's happening to you in real time. You may also try, "My dog is in the vet. I hope he is going to be all right." Of course, we want these to be honest statements about what is actually occurring in your life at this time. This will help the provider by giving them context to who you are as a person. Your provider may have kids in high school, or perhaps they may be a fellow fur parent as well. Questions play a unique role in improving the care you receive. Studies show that questions are not just about asking for information. They give the provider an insight into your worldview. A medical appointment can feel like a job interview at times. It goes something like this. Exchange of pleasantries, question and answer session, another exchange of pleasantries. Our goal is to make the visit more than a few comments about the weather, a brief synopsis of your health, and take care now, ta-ta. The encounter with your provider should have more of the organic characteristics of a proper conversation. Questions and answers exchanged by patient and doctor early on incite more understanding on the part of the physician and greater trust on the part of the patient. In turn, this opens the channels of communication, which can later provide clues essential to diagnosis and the most beneficial treatment. Here are a few examples of questions to ask your provider. Why do you say X instead of Y? What would it feel like if I were experiencing X? What is the plan when I walk out the door today after this appointment? If the provider's line of thinking confuses you, ask them to explain. We don't need to ask questions just to fill space or sound intelligent. We simply want to ask honest questions so that our provider can provide better care, better diagnosis, and the most beneficial treatment. When the provider gives us instructions, new prescriptions, referrals to specialists, or for lab work and tests, we may want to ask ourselves, what is the problem being addressed in terms of our health? What do I need to do about it now? Why is it important that I do this? What comes next? If you don't have an answer to these questions, ask the provider to elaborate and give more detail. If you are enjoying this episode, you can follow us on any podcast app. I'm curious to know how you have managed your relationships with your healthcare providers in the past. Let us know on X, formerly known as Twitter, @solo_health. It can be helpful to have a notebook to write down their response. During your medical appointment, it can be helpful also to establish your identity by sharing stories that celebrate who you are. Include those who are important in your life. Stories remind people that you are human. This will incite more investment in you by your medical staff and increase the likelihood that you will receive patient-centered care. Patient-centered care takes into consideration each symptom, condition, or illness in context to the pieces of your life that you share. Partnering with providers can be a challenge for us all. We can plan our visits ahead of time by creating a health journal to keep track of our concerns about our health. In the journal, we can list questions to ask the provider and use the journal to take notes during the visit. We are able to go beyond the job interview style of our medical appointments and share relevant stories to help us receive better patient-centered care. Care that takes into consideration our symptoms, our condition, or illnesses in the context of the life that we share with our providers. In the next episode, we will dive even deeper into this topic as we learn how to be a patient. This is Barbara. I am yours in health. Let me help you navigate the amazing world of health insurance. Remember, every day can be a healthy day.